Chapter 20. The Republican Pragmatist, U.S. Senator David Dernburger. Dernburger was trying to educate people that chartered schools was a middle position. John Schrader. July to August, 1991. Chartering had indeed moved quickly to the national scene. Even Congress began paying attention, to my great surprise. Delivery of public education was historically viewed as a state function. A federal role in education was unclear at best. If chartering were to become federal legislation, or even if the federal government were to have impact on state policy, we needed a congressional champion to take on this difficult challenge. We needed an independent lawmaker who loved to develop new policy ideas, often without regard to traditional boundaries of party doctrine. David Dernburger, Minnesota's senior U.S. senator, fit the bill perfectly. Coincidentally, his passion for healthcare had put him in a key position to shape an education issue like chartering. He was a member of the Senate Labor Committee chaired by Senator Ted Kennedy, which oversaw health issues as well as education. Being on the Labor Committee also allowed Dernburger to serve on the influential House-Senate Education Conference committees. More importantly, Dernburger was a product of the same reformist roots that generated the chartering idea. He was chair of the Citizens League Public Service Options, PSO, project prior to his election to the Senate in 1978. The project had a great impact on Dernburger. So did Ted Koldery, who was then executive director of the Citizens League and who became Dernburger's close advisor on education reform and other system reform issues. The PSO project contended that public problems should not necessarily lead exclusively to government-run programs. Instead, the government should buy results from whoever could best provide the services. For Dernburger, it got him to think about financing choices rather than financing the institutions that deliver the choices. In an August 2011 interview, Dernburger said, "That whole concept of changing the role of government was very, very important. It was so unique as a way of thinking about public service that I'd have to work to find somebody that could understand it in Washington. It was a little bit difficult." Dernburger credited this new concept to Koldery. I think that was Koldery's biggest gift. He just put his finger on where it's at in changing the role of government. It's as current today as it was then, and it's just as important. Since the 1980s, Dernburger and his staff had been closely following Minnesota's public school choice and chartering initiatives. Finding people who understood those ideas was difficult, too. When Minnesota ushered in open enrollment in the mid-1980s, Dernburger struggled to convince his colleagues that public education students should have choices beyond their neighborhood schools. In Washington, these education experts didn't get this. They couldn't understand this because public education meant the neighborhood school. We put all of our regulations against the neighborhood school. They were having trouble trying to figure out why we just don't improve the neighborhood school. I would say the way you improve it is to give kids and their families a choice of which neighborhood school they want to go to. Dernburger also believed that creating competition among public schools would be helpful to teachers. Teachers are the only ones who don't get to decide what education is. They get trained up in various higher education institutions and get graduate degrees, and they get out and teach. But they don't control the product. They have no responsibility for the product. They don't get rewarded. I always made a point when teachers came to lobby me. Before I answer your question, you've got to tell me. The last time you can remember waking up in the morning and you couldn't wait to get to school. In all my years of experience, I never got an answer to that. I never had someone volunteer, It was last Tuesday. It was last Wednesday. It was 3 weeks ago. It was 10 years ago. Not one person said, Dave, I've got to tell you how much I love this profession. I was trying to be helpful. I was trying to find a way. Dernberger was convinced teachers wanted reform such as chartering, despite what the teacher unions contended. I think we make assumptions about the strength of the teachers' unions and their ability to always reflect the will of the majority. There just has to be a market out there among people who choose education as a career to do something other than the two-step every 2 years. I got promoted regardless. All I've got to do is get a few more credits. After Minnesota passed chartering legislation in May 1991, Dernberger thought it was time to push public school choice to the national level. He saw chartering as a means to an end. He thought introducing competition and choice via chartering would provide a stamp of approval from the feds on the need to reform elementary and secondary education on the state level. Said Dernberger, I was a believer in let a thousand flowers bloom. Let's see what each state does. Let's see how it evolves. Dernberger had help in this effort from John Schrader, the senator's director of policy development and a self-described home state policy wonk. Working out of Dernberger's Minnesota office, Schrader came from the same reformist roots as Dernberger. Hired by Coldery, he was a Citizens League staffer from 1972 to 1977 and had worked with Dernberger and the PSO project. Dernberger had asked Schrader to keep an eye out for good Minnesota ideas to take to Washington. Schrader and Dernberger agreed that chartering was one of those good ideas, but they needed to figure out the best way to bring it to the nation's capital. Schrader was sensitive to the limited role the federal government played in financing and delivering public education. He knew Dernberger's initial goal would be to educate his colleagues and others around the country about this new chartering policy innovation in his home state. That meant introducing a bill. As Schrader said in an April 2011 interview, when you're a legislator at the state level, but particularly true in Washington, if you have an idea you want to promote, you have to have a bill. That's the currency, that's the stuff they do. They are in the business of passing bills. A bill would open the door to co-sponsors, statements in the Congressional Record, hearings, and press conferences. But most of all, it would create a bully pulpit where they could invest time in the issue, talk with people, and build support for the idea in Minnesota and around the country. Introducing a federal bill would also provide leverage for those states wishing to pass their own chartering policies. Back in 1991, this wasn't a traditional approach for Congress. But Dernberger and Schrader felt each state could pass its own legislation if Congress and the presidential administration endorsed chartering. Most importantly, Schrader felt states could pass chartering legislation if they could count on startup money in addition to funding once the chartered schools were up and operating. As the key initiator of the idea, he explained in his 2011 interview, what we came up with was the startup grant program, the startup funding. That's what we heard from charter school people, people who were starting to develop proposals. This was the biggest problem. In Minnesota's law, there was no money for planning and developing proposals. There was no capital money from the state for even things like desks and computers or remodeling costs. Schrader crafted brilliantly strategic legislation for Dernberger to introduce. Under the bill, the federal government offered grants to states that passed chartering laws. These states' departments of education would, in turn, give startup grants to approved charter proposals. The grants could be used for planning, startup costs, equipment purchase, and minor renovations. If a state Department of Education chose not to apply for grants, then the authorizers of chartered schools in that state could directly apply for grants to the U.S. Department of Education. The bill would authorize $50 million in grants. Schrader and Durenberger based much of their chartering legislation on Minnesota's law, with the hope of making a federal standard to help shape other states' laws. We were intending to have states model their laws after Minnesota, which, except for the cap on schools and the district-only chartering, we considered a strong law, said Schrader. Those two weaknesses were left out of the Durenberger bill. Chartering was, or would soon be, making its way into legislatures across the country. In September 1991, Republican Governor John Engler would include chartering in a comprehensive education reform package he proposed to the Michigan legislature. Legislators and education reformers in a number of other states, including Massachusetts, Florida, Wisconsin, and Tennessee, were actively discussing chartering. That summer and fall of 1991, the public debate about chartering and vouchers would especially heat up in California. City leaders in Baltimore, Philadelphia, Detroit, and Chicago would engage in chartering discussion in 1992. With legislation now drafted, Durenberger moved quickly to introduce the legislation on July 31, 1991, into the U.S. Senate as the Public School Redefinition Act of 1991. In Durenberger's press release, he focused on the bill's three goals as summarized here. Create more choices. States like Minnesota are now moving to the next stage of education reform by encouraging more choices. My legislation puts the federal government squarely behind states that want to take that next step. End the exclusive franchise for local school boards to deliver public education. We would never accept a situation in which A&P, an East Coast supermarket chain, had an exclusive franchise to operate every grocery store in Washington, D.C. Redefine public education. Public education shouldn't be defined by who owns the building or who hires the teachers. It should be defined by outcomes, by the Constitution, by who pays, who must be accepted as students, and who can't be excluded. More interesting to me, however, was Durenberger's official statement about the bill on the Senate floor, in which he took aim at the politics of education reform head-on. In his statement, he said his legislation addressed the concerns people had about the initiatives President George H.W. Bush and Education Secretary Lamar Alexander offered. He was referring, of course, to their steadfast support of private school choice and federal funding to support private schools. Durenberger said this of his chartering legislation. And it points all of us toward a new, more effective, and politically achievable definition of American public education. I say that in part because of the difficulties some of us in Washington seem to be having in breaking some traditional barriers to reform that states like Minnesota seem to have long ago put behind them. The old debates about public and private school choice don't have to stand in the way of fundamental reforms if we're willing to redefine public education. And getting past that barrier has made all the difference in removing partisanship from this debate in a state like Minnesota, where Democrats in both the governor's office and the legislature have been our biggest champions of choice and reform. Here was the face of Durenberger, the pragmatist. He was looking for an alternative to education reform that was politically possible. Said Schrader in his interview, Durenberger saw this bill as a way to break the logjam on school choice. He was trying to educate people that chartered schools was a middle position. Chartering was something that could accomplish the objectives of vouchers, but still be within public education and earn the support of Democrats. It would be a bipartisan strategy for improving public education. That's the central message here. other than that vouchers were never going to pass. This was pure Durenberger. He resisted these polarizing positions of making the whole national government's role in education dependent on consensus around an issue that they would never agree on. The voucher amendment got only 35 votes in the U.S. Senate and 80 votes in the U.S. House. The issue was simple for Durenberger. I was always wedded to the notion that the charter school reform was something that needed to take place inside public education, he said in his interview. It was our notion that chartering would create competition between schools rather than between private education and public education. Simply putting publics in competition with privates wasn't going to do it. For this strategy to work, Durenberger knew his legislation needed to be bipartisan. At that time, Democrats controlled both houses of Congress. He needed a Democratic co-author for the bill. One likely prospect was Senator Joe Lieberman from Connecticut, a leader in the Democratic Leadership Council, DLC. Lieberman and his staff were aware of the chartering idea. In 1991, Connecticut legislators had hotly debated chartered schools, and ultimately, the state legislature created a task force to study the concept and bring back a report by January 1992. After Durenberger invited Lieberman to co-sponsor, the DLC moved into action behind the bill. The DLC asked me to call Lieberman's staff to respond to questions and provide comfort that chartering originated as a Democratic initiative. In early August 1991, Lieberman signed on as the lead Democratic sponsor of Durenberger's chartering bill. I couldn't have been more pleased that a prominent Democrat had signed on to the bill. Later in September, the DLC arranged a meeting so I could personally thank Lieberman and share the story of chartering in Minnesota. Allow me a personal aside to this happy story. I had no inkling at the time that Lieberman's involvement in this groundbreaking national platform for education reform might rise up in my own political career years later. In appreciation for his leadership on chartering, I offered my visible support for Lieberman when he later sought both the U.S. vice presidency and presidency. But then he switched party allegiance from Democrat to Independent in 2006, just as I was running in a DFL primary for Congress in a liberal urban district. The blogger world and my opponents tied me early on to Lieberman's policies. My past support for Lieberman and my longtime support of chartering were very unpopular in the district and were two factors that contributed to my primary defeat. However, back in 1991, and yet still today, I was deeply grateful for Lieberman's critical bipartisan support for Durenberger's chartering legislation. The fate of this legislation still remained to be seen. Whether it would pass the U.S. Congress that year or in years later was not pivotal. What was most important was that it created a platform for the national discussion around chartering, public school choice, and even private school vouchers. That debate was just getting started.